Good evening, everyone. I've come up with a new term. We've done this before, but this is an offering introduction. And if I could have everybody on this half of the chapel turn to James 4:10, and everybody on this half of the chapel turn to 1 Peter 5:6, and if you read them out loud for the first half of the verse, you'd have it the same. But the second half of the verse, the wording's a little different, but the intent is the same. And the two verses both say, humble yourself. James says, in the presence of God. I think I've got this the right way around. Peter says, under the mighty hand of God. I might have that backwards. Forgive me if I do. But nonetheless, this is a verse that often drives people out there trying to figure out how to make themselves humble. And if you're anything like me, you're figuring, if I can make myself humble enough, that'll like gain me access to God's presence. So, you know, we go out and we buy a new, you know, a few bolts of sackcloth and we drape it over ourselves and we, you know, go to the fireplace, get some ashes and start dumping them on ourselves. But I want to go to the Greek grammar a little bit with you briefly, and then we'll talk a little bit about what it really means. Okay, Greek grammar, any verb has a tense, a voice, and a mood. Okay, Sue May will enjoy this one. Tense is the idea, like in Greater Grace, we may not know what the future holds, but we always have a past or present. I heard the groan. That means it got to somebody. That was what I was waiting for. Okay. Humble yourselves in both of these verses is a present tense. That means right now. Right now. Right now. Continually. If it's now, you should be doing this. Right now. Continually doing this. Present passive voice. Passive voice means that the subject, yourself in this case, is not actually doing the action of the verb. The subject is receiving the action of the verb. And it's an imperative mood. Imperative mood. This is a divinely inspired command. So what are we told here? We are told not to go make ourselves humble so that we can be in the presence of God. But reckon yourself in the presence of God. Reckon yourself to be under the mighty hand of God. When you are there, you receive humility. You will not be anything but humble. Trust me on that. If you've ever tried to like make yourself humble, probably either one of two results. Either complete frustration, or you achieved it. And wasn't that really something? Something to be proud of, you know, making yourself humble. So we're not producing this humility. It's coming from the presence of God. So then you start thinking, well, that means I've got to get into the presence of God. Have you ever stopped to think he's omnipresent? He is everywhere present at all times. You are in the presence of God. You don't have to get there. Just realize you're there. Consider who he is. Consider his mighty hand. Consider Moses hidden in the cleft of the rock, watching the glory of God pass over him. And when he came down from that mountain, he glowed. He literally glowed. Is his mighty hand there to crush you? Or is he there to shelter you? Is he a covering, or is he some sort of looming shadow that you have to fear? Is his hand squeezing or confining you? Or is he caressing and comforting you? Is your sin something he's going to make you pay for? Or is he going to tell you he's already paid for it? Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The prodigal son found himself being kissed before he could even fully confess his sins to his father. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." And when you stop and consider this, and so much more, you realize who God is and how much he loves you. And it's uplifting. And so let's pray for the offering. Father, you are here among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And we are in your presence. And you are great and mighty on our behalf. And we could give you all sorts of things in this offering, and it could be a great performance. But you have already given so much, and we simply want to thank you and recognize you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, your house is a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer, God. We have gathered in your name. Thank you. Anoint our fellowship, our minds, our hearts, Lord. Bless worldwide all these places where people gather in your name and you visit them, two or three gathered. Your anointing is there. For your presence, you are the same God that divided the Red Sea, that visited Israel again and again, that anointed kings and prophets, that anointed a young girl in Bethlehem to give birth to Christ, our Savior. You're the God of today, Lord, God of today, the healing God, the same. The speaking God opens the Bible to us. Father, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. Wondrous, marvelous, life-changing, heart-warming, physically healing, psychologically changing, spiritually enlightening us. You are the God that spoke in the Garden of Eden and walked, a voice was walking, and you haven't stopped. You visit us in our weakness. Every hospital bed is visited by a loving, comforting God, though they may not hear you, though they had rebellion in their heart and their sin, their guilt, their fears eclipse their hearing. They cannot hear you. They cannot hear you, Lord. They cannot hear you, but your word is quick, powerful, piercing in the darkness, and divides the soul and spirit. Please, Lord, bless our people everywhere. Raise up men and women after this church in our future. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you will have raised up and continue to raise up these great people that are hearing you and preparing for the future and the continuation of what is started by the marvel of your grace, the presence of your person, the revelation of your Son, the opening of the Scripture, the visitation of your Spirit. Pray for the next pastor, whoever that is, and whenever that might happen. That's your business, God. We are healthy today in you and confident, but the future is in your hand, Lord. And continue to build, maintain, grow, make progress, reveal in your name. We pray, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Okay, you may be seated. I have something on my heart. You know how I often say it's going to, you know, short message. You know, we always say that. But maybe it will be. I think when I make the point, it'll be, you know, that's it. You will know it. I will know it. And that's it. But it'll take a little bit to kind of get a follow along with what I want to say. It's from a commandment, Exodus chapter 20, and it is the commandment that we learned as children, the Ten Commandments. It's one of them. It's Exodus chapter 20. It is honor your father and your mother. Have you ever heard that before? Okay, turn to your neighbor and quote it to them. Okay. Hey, why are you talking so much? I just said, quote the tenth, that commandment. Is it the fifth one, maybe? Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. I don't think I've ever preached on that message, on that verse, but tonight I want to think with you about it with a certain context. And say something about it. Because in our country, we are watching families fall apart. In our, maybe your life, you have suffered somehow with divorced parents or a sad situation that has produced pain in your life. Maybe your parents were really awesome people, good people, and yet in rebellion, despised them or had a lot of bad to say about them. I do not know what your situation is, but I want to help you and also everyone here in our thinking, because there's something deeper here than simply honoring my father and mother in some way of duty. There is love. Love is at the heart of this Bible verse. Honor your father and mother. To cut down on my words and kind of get the essence, I'm going to draw one of these famous sketches. Huh? They're for sale in the cafe after the sermon. Okay. We have a simple picture like this: a person with a God, and then here, father and mother, three different parts: God, me, and my father and mother. We know that because of our nature as people, we can so be so disheartened and saddened in life by people, particularly people we love and respect, like our mom and dad. And so there are people without God without Christ, and they are very troubled in life. Eventually, sooner or later, not everybody doesn't realize it, but somehow there's an emptiness, or we could say there's a small concept that they have of God in their heart. God is somebody, I believe in God, but my concept of God is, he is small. This is just a common thing for all of us, because we by nature, because of the fallen nature of man, we are idolaters. And we make God like the world we live in. That's the story of the Greek and the Roman gods. Those gods were like people. They were gods that looked for revenge, held grudges. They are gods that were bad and good and bad, and they were just like people. But the Jews had the right concept of God. You cannot see him. He is God, everywhere present, knows everything, has all power. He is God. When Jesus came into the world, we got to touch God and follow God around and see his work and listen to his words. When we believe in him, then our hearts are enlarged. So our concept, our relationship with God is with the living God who is able to enlarge our hearts like dehydrated food. Add water, and it swells. Add Christ to your life, and your life gets bigger. Our hearts are enlarged. And honoring and mother and father becomes different because of my concept of God. He is different. Let me explain it. Before I do, let's see if the Lord could give me some words here along this line that are different from what I want to say. Help me, Lord. We are in a troubled world, and a lot of people are disappointments. In this diagram, this is one category of disappointment. My parents, not mine. I've been blessed with my parents. But people, my mother or my father, a disappointment. But when the Holy Spirit is in my life and I understand and believe in God, then that love is able to look at my parents with respect and say, I am in this world with this commandment from God to love and honor and respect my unworthy parents. Pretty awesome. They are, somebody could say, my dad an alcoholic, my mother indifferent, or my dad some criminal, and the story goes on. And we say, it must be painful or difficult. But I don't want you to think without knowing what God is saying about this. And that is, Christ came into the world. Listen, okay, Malachi chapter 4, listen to this. Before Jesus came, God was sending Elijah. Why was Elijah coming? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the fathers. Malachi 4, verse 6. Wait, well, what does that have to do with the coming of the Messiah? that the families would come together, and fathers and sons and daughters and mothers would have love for each other. Two things, two problems here. Number one, the people that are a disappointment. And let me put in here David, who was king, as an example just to kind of blow our minds. Absalom felt that David had failed him. David did fail in different areas in his life. Like he was not a perfect person. But God was able to see more, and he was able to anoint him, even though he was an imperfect person. And David had a son murdered by Absalom, and David, in a way, and I'm not an expert on the story. I know the story, and I don't want to read into it more than what it says. But I just want to say that there are some that feel that David failed as a dad and didn't do such a good job with his son Absalom in addressing the problem that Absalom had. Okay, David wasn't perfect, but he was to be honored by Absalom. But Absalom couldn't honor him, because David failed him. The second problem here in this picture is Absalom and his heart. I think Absalom's heart was about this big, if it was that big. He didn't know God, so he couldn't honor his mother and father. I'm only wanting to say that because we are born again and the Spirit of God is in our life, then we are actually able to live an extraordinary life, one that others can't live. That my dad or my mom being a disappointment, let's say, but I honor them, I pray for them, I love them, and I have respect for them. Absalom couldn't do it because it's all related to my concept of God. And by the way, this applies in many relationships, like my wife, like what I think of my wife when things are not perfect. This is the point of life. It's when my understanding of God is awesome and the Holy Spirit anointing us and releasing us in worship and understanding what love is. Because God is love. And he's loving in an imperfect world. And he's looking at people that have disappointed him. I mean, quote unquote, disappointed him. And he's saying, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I want you to know me. Peter denied me. Where is Peter? I will find Peter. I will go search for Peter. I have respect for Peter because I know. Because Peter will believe me. Peter will trust me. Yeah, I will love him. Jesus loved Judas, but if you look at our sketch here, Judas's heart was a small one too. And he's saying, Jesus disappointed me. Let's put that here. Jesus disappointed me. And then just put here, Judas actually was much less of a person than he should have been because he didn't know God. He didn't know him. This is why Christ came. Christ came so that an ordinary life would become extraordinary. Being able to love and give and serve and forgive and forgive again and forgive again and forgive again and be spirit-filled. And people say, what is going on? And we say, you know, somebody could say, move out of Baltimore. And they ask us, what is going on? And it is, we are having an amazing picnic, a feast, a spiritual celebration, a fellowship of truth, a sense of honor and respect for God's work in an imperfect world. Isn't that cool? That's pretty amazing. Get out of the marriage. No, I'm the problem here. I need to have my heart enlarged. I need God in my life. I need to find God. Get out of the working place where you're being abused or mistreated. Wait a minute, I don't know about that. I have to be careful with that. I don't want to be driven by this or that. I want to have a deeper life and find the reality of a God's love in my life. Never talk to your parents again. I wonder how much of that happened this Christmas season in America, where some dad who messed up, who's brokenhearted, hurting, his children never call, never talk, never reach out, never forgive. His children don't, they are cold, and the hearts of the children are against the fathers, and the fathers against the sons. But turn to Malachi 4 and read it, please. This is an unusual message in a way, different. And I'm not, to be honest, I'm not sure if the timing of preaching it is now, but here we go, we're in it, we're almost done with it, so why even talk like that? Malachi 4, maybe it'll hit us, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Who was that? John the Baptist. But the great and dreadful day of the Lord hasn't come yet. So Elijah will come in the tribulation period. But at the Messiah's first coming, he sent John the Baptist. Jesus said it, if you will receive it, John the Baptist was Elijah, in the spirit of Elijah, not actually Elijah. What for? Verse 6. He will turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Why? Why? John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River and saying, repent. Let's put that word here. He will turn their hearts and he will preach repentance. You know why? Because those areas in our families where we live, where we cannot forgive, where we stop talking, where we stop reaching out, those areas where we are deeply offended by how somebody let me down or somebody didn't do for me what I needed. And some of it is very legitimate, I do not doubt it. But some of it isn't that legitimate. It's more like me and my selfishness. And I say, I'm not giving in. I'm not going to budge. I got a grudge, and I'm living in it. Nothing's going to happen. I'm not talking to them ever again. Wow. Can't be. It can't be. So, how does it work? The Holy Spirit does this work. We make the call. We say, Dad, it's me. I love you, Dad. I forgive you, Dad. There's long before, this may be dramatic, true, but even long before that, there's an attitude in our hearts as people. And this attitude needs to be challenged by God. There needs to be a brokenness and a forgiveness and a love. If you're a parent, you know how hard it can be sometimes to get it right. You know, it's tough when your kids are on your case and they're never satisfied. Praise God, I don't have that happening in my life. But it can happen. I know the spirit of it. I know what it is. When in a selfish world, the love of many waxes cold, and there's an iniquity that increases, and it breaks down the family. And it's like an Absalom spirit. And it's like saying, and I despise my dad. I despise his Christianity. I despise the church. I despise what they taught me. I despise the fact that I went to a Christian day school. I despise what happened in my life. They ruined my life. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Wow, wait a minute. Honor your mother and father. Honor your mother and father. Yes, they work hard. They've done a lot. They've gotten on their knees by your bedside when you knew nothing and prayed for you. They fed you. They cared for you. They taught you. They had respect for you. They led you. They served you. They laid down their lives for you. They ran carpools. They brought you to soccer games. They financed your way into school. They did this and they did that. And a spirit and an attitude from these two elements, this one, you're not perfect. And this one, you, the child, their heart is small. Their world is small and their God is small. No. Let's pray this year that these healings would happen, that people would be humble and say, forgive me. I have been arrogant or selfish, or I've been on my own track. I have done my own thing, and I would like to find something else. Let me just say another point about it. It's not about our particular church. I'm not saying that. Our church is, I love it. It's amazing. I'm not saying that. It's deeper. It's the concept. You see, the secular world is feeding us constantly about life, and we're not hearing God. We're hearing horizontally a lot, but we're not hearing. So our concept of God is small because it's eclipsed. We can't hear truth. We don't go to the church anymore, or maybe, you know, any church. I don't go to any church. I don't hear a message that is a, I say the word transcendental just because it's different, but a different word, but the meaning is it's an anointed word. It's a living word. It's a word from heaven. It's a word from the mouth of God. And if I hear the word from the mouth of God, it'll break the rocks. In Psalm 129, it'll go over the waters. It'll heal the soul. It'll help enlighten me. And I'll say, Absalom could have said, you know, my dad isn't a perfect guy, but I know my dad. And let's use the last illustration here I'm going to finish it up. But this relationship, Paul and Timothy, and honor your mother and father. And Timothy has God. And I would say his heart is big. And Paul is able to say to him, don't be ashamed of my chain. I have a chain, and you could be embarrassed being affiliated with me. You could be embarrassed being part of my group. I'm not a polished guy. I don't have it all down. I'm in prison for the gospel, but I got the essentials. I'm an apostle. I have apostolic doctrine. I have the works of an apostle, and so on. I am the chiefest of sinners. But Timothy, you know me. You know me from the beginning. And you know, a parent that is able to impart to the child, and the child is able to fellowship with the parent, this relationship is of great value to us as parents. It's of great value. It's very precious to us. And we had in our family, I don't know, I think it was 19 family members at our home yesterday for Christmas, and we had a dinner together, and I'm very thankful for our family, so I'm saying it. But it may not be that way. And this is, it may not be that way, but it's a great thing when it is. And if it's not my earthly father because he's passed, or because he's not a spiritual man, or because of some other reason, I am looking for that impartation that builds me up as a family, because we are sons and daughters of God. And we do have an impartation that has a great value to us that's very important. So a big heart relates to truth. And Paul says, "Thou, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The grace that is in Christ. Timothy, I'm going to have grace for you, and you're going to have grace for me. And I'm going to love you, and I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to be with you in thick and thin, because God is like that, because God is love. And I believe, Timothy, you're going to be with me in this loyalty and in this fellowship. You're not a yes man, but you're loyal. And you'll be with me, and we'll speak straight up, and we'll be direct, and we'll be spiritually minded. But you're not going to just run away and get tired, just run away with a yellow streak down your back because things aren't going well. Because you are going to be honoring God, and God is going to use you to honor me, us. Let's pray for our country, that people would find something new that would bring healing to families and healing to churches. This relates to church life too, because when my concept of God is small and my heart is little, it's so easy to be disappointed with me. Pastor Schaller up here. You're gonna say amazing message. I had a brother in Hungary. He showed me. I was quoting Bible verses. He showed me his notebook. He was a great brother too. I loved him very much. But something happened, and he was disappointed, and he was gone. It was some years with us, but he was gone. And those things are hard, and they happen. And that's how it goes. You will. It's no longer interesting. The cafe is boring. The parking lot is too big. The carpet is too brown. The message is too long. The music doesn't touch me. The message doesn't mean much to me. And then I started along those lines, and there it is. And there's a great loss. 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's a great loss. But if you and I could do this, say, you know what? Problem isn't my mom and dad and the society I live in and my church and my pastor. No, I don't believe that's where I go first. I go first to God. And I get real humble before him. And I say, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Release me in worship. Let me see things the way you do. and you do your great work. And if there's any area in my life where I need to forgive and I need to love and I need to learn how to love and forgive and pray, then show me. And if you are doing this, and imagine if that was happening all across the country, how much healing, how much power, how much authority, how much blessing. And by the way, it said, before the Messiah comes, Elijah will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. I don't know what it means. When Jesus came the first time, that's what happened. And I'm sure it'll happen again. And why would in our country, the United States of America, be known as a country of healthy families, God-fearing, spirit-filled, Bible-believing, loving, forgiving, gracious families? Wow, and it is in many ways. Well, I lived in Finland for some years, and there was one lady said to me, when she was a little girl, she was older than me, she's older than me today, but this was years ago. When I was a little girl, she said, the thing I love about America, I go, what is it did you loved about America? She said, I love to watch this TV show. I go, what one? She said, Father Knows Best. Father Knows Best. That was my favorite. And I said, why? She said, because my father was an alcoholic. Our family was all messed up. And I would sit there as a little girl and watch that and believe that's how a family should be, that father would know best. Huh? Cool. Would you pray with me, please? We'll finish. Father, we pray you would use these words to speak to our hearts on the subject, not just for us in the room, but in our country, Lord, in the world. Children need their dads, their moms. Churches need their pastors and disciples. We need this big heart, this big heart. And you've given it to us. We're learning it. Bless these thoughts in your name, in Jesus' name. Anyone not believing tonight, come to Christ by faith and believe in him. He is the miracle-working God, who is the forgiving God, who is the anointing God, who is the God that cares for you, who comes to you tonight and comes into your heart and saves you and gives you eternal life. Saying that prayer, believing in him, you are born again. You are a child of God. You are born of the Spirit. God is your Father. Walk with him by faith. He will answer you. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.